The reading appointed for today is from Romans chapter 6. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin still live in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. For one who has died has been set free from sin. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Well, do you remember your baptism date? Some families make it a tradition to celebrate that as well as they do their birthday date. Is it a big deal for you and your loved ones? Well, our text for today certainly is oozing with the wonderful blessing and gift of baptism that our Lord gives to his people. I don't think I'm too far out on a limb to say that there are many, including us at times, who truly do forget how important our baptism really is, how much we really need it. We still think we can do it on our own and that we're not as bad as all that. There's always other people who are a little bit worse than we are. We forget that we are the kind of grubby sinners that fit in this world all too well. Look around and you'll see what I mean. If you're a sinner, what are you supposed to do about it? Well, the old school notion is that if you pick up the pieces, pick yourself up by your bootstraps, ignore the past, and get on with the future. In terms of psychology and sanity, that's a pretty good way to live. The popular opinion option today, of course, is to parade your sin blatantly as you can. You can boast in it and then dare others to call it wrong or to judge you. You can use it for personal gain, claiming that you're a victim who needs others to lift you up and celebrate your life. If you play your cards right, you might even become the star of a reality TV show and become a YouTube sensation. If you choose the right sins to be enslaved to, iniquity can pay quite well these days. Now, we may not parade our sins around, but are more likely to slither in the dark, thinking at least I'm not as bad as those people or that person, and no one will see me or know. Well, our Lord gives us a different view of sin. The soul that sins shall die. Jesus calls us to repentance. We are sinners. We are sorrowful, contrite about our sins. We humbly need to confess our weaknesses, our failures, and our sins. Each one of us needs to admit, I do not do what I should do, and I am not who I should be. My sin is killing me, and I need God to take my sin away. Well, Jesus is the answer. He's everything we are not. We are weak, he's all powerful. We are failing, he's eternal. We are mortal, he is immortal. We are unrighteous, he is holy. Our sin is offensive to God. He is God. Jesus stands with us and more. In fact, he stands you with him, that where he is, you may also be. That's the good news of our text. There's law in the text to set the stage, namely that we're enslaved in sin. It's important to remember what that means. To be dead in sin is completely dead, unable to give yourself life. Remember, it doesn't mean mostly dead, but just alive enough to kick a little. It means dead, dead as a doornail. It means that the only way you can be alive is if Jesus does all the work to make you alive. To complement the image of being dead in sin, our text adds the image of being a slave to sin. Don't underestimate the extent it means to be fully enslaved. It's not that one has to try very hard to do God-pleasing things or say God-pleasing things. It means that apart from Jesus and his grace, no one can do or say anything that is God-pleasing. In fact, if one is enslaved to sin in thought, he cannot think anything that is God-pleasing apart from Christ. Thus, in Romans 3, we hear, "There is none righteous, no, not one. There is none who understands. There is none who seeks after God." That's slavery to sin. American Christianity is full of the idea that you are born as a slave to sin, but you have an escape plan. Sure, you think sinful thoughts or do sinful things, but there's a part of you yearning to be free, and with the right willpower and coaching, you can make yourself free from sin and guilt and right in the sight of God. Sure, you may be stuck as a slave for now, willing to be holy but not strong enough to do it on your own. But if you decide to heed Jesus' call for your emancipation, then you'll muster up the willpower and make your escape and be free. Well, our Lord doesn't give us that much credit. You're fully enslaved to sin. It says there's none who seeks after God. You may be appalled by some facets of evil, some varieties of sin, and you may want to be free from them, but by your own reason and strength, you'll only run from one sin to another. You need a Savior to make you alive, to set you totally free. That is precisely what Jesus has done for you. We are buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. This is why you rejoice that Jesus has come to be numbered with you. This is a truth worthy of long meditation, holy baptism. Jesus has joined you to his death for your sin. He takes the forgiveness you won at the cross and gives it to you by water and the word. In holy baptism, he declares, "The wages of sin is death, and apart from me, you would suffer God's judgment, eternal death for your sin. But I have died that death for you. I join you to that death in your baptism. At the cross, I made your sin, your death, my death. Here at the baptismal font, I make my death your death. I felt the scourge, the nails, the wrath of the Father. You feel a splash of water, nothing more, because all the wrath is done and gone. Don't be deceived by the ease of the gift. You are baptized at the cost of Christ's sacrifice, his blood shed, so that you did not have to pay that price for your sin. My friends, in holy baptism, you have died with Christ. You have been crucified with him. You have been buried with him already. The judgment of your sins has already been carried out. That is why death has no claim on you. That's why hell has no claim on you. Jesus hasn't just died for your sins. He's come to you, and joined you to him so that you don't have to die it for yourself. And there's more. Jesus has joined you to his resurrection. He died and was buried. He rose from the dead. His time in the grave was short, and he lives again. He joins you to that new life. The grave is a resting place, not the end. Death is a sleep and a shadow, nothing more. Sin causes death. Those who are holy live forever. And because Jesus died your death and rose again, he gives you his holiness and eternal life. So rejoice, dear friends. Jesus hasn't just saved you from, but he has brought you to. He has saved you from hell to heaven, from death to life, from a slave of sin to a child and heir of God. And how can you be sure of that? His promises he gives to you in your baptism. He joins you to his death and resurrection. This new life has begun now for you. Although your body still faces death before it is raised to perfection, even now you already have eternal life in Christ. Even now you are set free from sin. Even now you are set free to live the life of one redeemed. In the words of our text, you are dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. That is why you do good works. That is why you say good words. That is why, although you are constantly tempted, you strive by God's grace and strength to avoid sin and do what is right. You have been made alive in Christ by baptism. To return willfully to sin is to say, I'd rather be dead. You've been set free from sin by Jesus in holy baptism. To return willfully to sin is to say, I'd rather be back in chains. It is a frequent error for people to say, I have been baptized and forgiven, therefore I can still cling to this sin or that one and be a Christian. It simply isn't so. It is the equivalent of saying, since I have been born, I can stop living and still be alive. It is not so. If you are dead again, you are no longer alive. If you return to be a slave of sin, you are no longer a free child of God. That is why our text begins, what shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. Daily, though, you still sin. Yes, that old Adam is a good swimmer. Will rear his ugly head and coax you back towards slavery and the grave. That is why daily you remember your baptism. Daily you confess your sins before God and rejoice in his forgiveness. Daily you say, I've acted once again like a dead, sinful slave. I've proven once again my complete unworthiness of God's mercy. But that is not who I am anymore. Jesus has joined me to his death and resurrection, made me alive in him. Therefore, I confess those sins which would enslave me again, and I rejoice that I live by the grace of God because Jesus has joined me to his death and resurrection. Perhaps it's because we are only baptized once, often in infancy, that we do not give holy baptism the credit it deserves. Or perhaps it is the devil or our old Adam that despise it and numb us to wonder. For this too we should repent. In your baptism, Jesus has come to you to number you with him. He has declared, I do not shun you for your sin. I have died to take your sin away, and I am risen again. I have joined you to my death and resurrection so you have eternal life. I do not shun you. I am not ashamed of you. You are mine. And because you are his Father delights to add of you, this is my beloved child in whom I am well pleased. My friends, all of this is yours because Jesus reached down into the muck and mire of your sinfulness and baptized you. Jesus has joined you to himself, to his death and resurrection. All this remains yours now and forever because you are a baptized child of God, forgiven for all your sins. Amen.